Thank you, Darren and team. That song that said, take my heart and mold it, form it. Take my will, transform it, take my mind. What a challenge to let go of all the things that we have and that we hang on to. Amen? I don't know about you, but it's a challenge for me. And this morning we're going to share a text that increases the challenge even more. For those that were with us last week, we were in a live, real-life, living, breathing testimony service of the book of the Ephesians, were we not? It was amazing. We had Teen Challenge here, and Teen Challenge expressed to us in testimony the things that Almighty God did in their life. We saw the transforming power of God's Spirit in a person's life that had nowhere to go. And they were at the end of their rope and their end of their time and they were end of everything that they had and that this world offered. And they shouted out and proclaimed the name of the Lord. You know, I think that sometimes in our somewhat generic life, we forget the power of God. We forget what God can do and what he has done and what he will do if we call out to the name of the Lord. You know, we have an issue because we try to make God into a God we understand. And we try to figure him out in terms and references of our human perspective. And we actually move God down to our level and we say, well, that's what we think he is because, well, I can understand him. Well, I don't understand God. But I want to tell you this, that the God of heaven is the almighty, omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent, sovereign, eternal, life-changing Lord of all. Amen? Amen. Some of us in this service this morning are testimony to the change that only the power of God's Spirit can do. A self-learned book doesn't do it. A self-help book doesn't do it. And a better life program and a life coach doesn't do it. But you know who does it? The power of the Holy Spirit that God indwells us when we trust him as Lord and Savior. Well, the Ephesians experienced this God, and Paul was reminding them and encouraging them of some of the things that God had done with them, in them, through Jesus Christ. And I want to change the term from them to us, because, in fact, what Jesus Christ did for the Ephesians, and have you loved this study through the Ephesians? Amen? It's been great. It's been engaging. It's been something that's challenged my heart. And as we've seen the life unfold, as Paul lays it out of what has happened in Ephesus, it plays out to very much what's happening in your and my life. So I'm going to change the them to us, because in fact, what has happened to the Ephesian church and the Ephesian believers is what happened to you and I if we're children of God. God blessed them with every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus. And in him, we have redemption through the blood of Jesus Christ. We've been adopted as sons. We've been part and made part of a body of Christ, which is the church. And we've put Jew and Gentile together, and there is no difference. The wall of partition has been taken down. We've been sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise. We're going to learn more about that this morning. And we are the workmanship created. Get this. We are the workmanship in Christ created before time ever was, that we would actually fulfill what God has planned out for you to do in your life through his power. Isn't that amazing? The Ephesians were seeing that very clearly. And a couple weeks ago, in our last study, we found out that as the Lord Jesus Christ led captivity captive and he went back to heaven after his sacrifice, that he gave to the church gifts. And he gave each one of us spiritual gifts whereby we might edify and build up and encourage each other. Gifts that are important for us to be part of a body. In our text this morning, the Holy Spirit through Paul is going to wants us to understand a couple things. He wants to understand this, all those things that I said, how much God has done for us through Jesus Christ. And because of that, there is a responsibility for us to live for him. There is a responsibility for us now to react to what God has done in love and worship and dedication because of what he's done through the person of his son, Jesus Christ. And what the Holy Spirit wants to get into each one of us this morning is that, as we read in the book of James 1 and verse 22, that he wants us to be doers of the word not just hears. My mother used to say, I talk to you till I'm blue in the face. Remember those words? And I still didn't listen. I'm still having a hard time listening. And we have a tough time when we're given information to actually do what we're told. But the scripture instructs us that they want us to be doers, not just hearers. And that really gives foundation to what we're going to read this morning. So let's read together in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17 to 32. We will be reading this in the New King James Version. It'll be on the screen for all those that will follow along that do not have your Bibles with them, with us this morning. Let's read together Ephesians chapter 4, in verse 17, we will start. Then I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness, to work of uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you may put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, putting away lying, let each one speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry, but do not sin. This is the verse I read to Jenny every night. Do not let your sun go down upon your wrath. nor give place to the devil. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who is in need. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. I love that. I wonder if everything I say imparts grace to the hearers. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Amen. Well, some have titled the front part of this epistle, 17 to 32, as the new man, or the walk of a new man. Warren Wiersbe says, take off the old grave clothes. That's what he calls it. It's a retrospective view, verses 17 to 19 that we read. It's a retrospective view of what it was like before we were at the cross. It's an old life that pretty much categorized me and before I saw Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, before I bowed my knee to accept him as my Lord, before he changed me. And we talked about this morning, the foot of the cross, the shadow of the cross, and at his feet. What a great place to stand and sit and be found in today is at the foot of the place where Jesus gave his life for us. Before he changed us, before he took us from darkness into light and made us new creation in Christ. Notice in verse 17, as we started off, and he talks about, the apostle talks about new life that's been given to us, or because of this new life, that's what this therefore is about. It references everything that we heard about before, all those things that have been done by Jesus Christ for us. Therefore, we're not to no longer walk as the Gentiles walk. Now, this reference to Gentiles is not to a nationality or to a reference of a non-Jew as far as culture, but this Gentiles is a reference to spiritual Gentiles, non-believers, the unconverted. We're not to walk as those that have no life. We read that in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 5, in reference to our sanctification, in reference to how we use our body and for what use and for what purpose it actually gets used. And it says, not in the passion of lust like the Gentiles, the non-believers who do not know God. The whole idea is that we don't walk as those that don't know God because we do know God. And the challenge goes out this morning is to each one of us if we really do know God. And we're not talking about an intellectual knowledge of God as Romans 1 says that we're without excuse, but a personal relationship with the Almighty. Because if we have a personal relationship with the Almighty, then we don't walk like those who do not know God. You remember the statement, you hear it often, when in Rome, do as the Romans. And we use that often, and maybe we use it as a bit of an excuse. Well, that doesn't work for Christians. When we're Christians in a Christless world, we're not going to act like the Christless. It's a paradox to what we have within us, the Holy Spirit. It's the opposite to what God has given us. We don't walk as those that do not know God. These first group of, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time here, but just to show you what we've come from. I think we need to look back as we look ahead. And there's three words that jump out of me out of the scriptures to me in these first 17, 18, and 19, and that is the three words. There's darkness, there's blindness, and there's greediness. Talk about darkness. Outside of God's light. God says that, Jesus said he came that, and he's the light of the world. And he shines in the darkness. But what is men like? They love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. That's when things happen at night. My grandmother used to say, you can't. Nothing good happens after 12 o'clock. And I think she was right. But the point is, why do we do things at night? Because we're not seen, because we'd rather not be seen because of the things that we do. We love darkness rather than light. And God, and we were in darkness. We were futile. It talks about being futile in our minds. I love what Ironside says. He was way ahead of his time. He said we were chasing bubbles. We thought we had something. And in Romans chapter 1, it talks about this intelligence that we figure we had because we were so enlightened because we had our own way and it wasn't God's way. And it says in Romans chapter 1, verse 22, that professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Says there was a way in Proverbs chapter 14, there's a way that seemed right to a man, but the ends thereof were the ways of death, and it was destruction and then despair. That was what our way was. We were dark, blindness, no sight of the truth. We read that in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 3. Listen to these words carefully. But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this world, that's Satan, has blinded lest the light of the gospel of God's glory be shone on them. We're blinded by all kinds of things. And the devil continues to blind us by all kinds of good things, or reasonable things in their own right, but we're busy and we've got tons of hobbies and we've got tons of activities and we've got things and we've got wants and we've got passions and we've got ideologies. And we're blind. You think of the ideologies. Look at what has just happened in Boston. The blindness of people who think, and I'm not making judgments because I don't know, but think they're doing the right thing. How blind can we be that we actually do something to harm people? You think of shootings in Connecticut. You think of all the things that if it wasn't for the grace of God, I'd be doing. That's the blindness. That's the darkness that we've come out of if we're a child of God. And the next word was greediness. Past feeling. That's what it means. Morally insensitive. Can't get enough. Can't get enough. Can't fill that appetite. So the world runs headlong into uncontrolled things. You remember the things that we used to blush when we heard? You remember? We used to sit around and lunch table, hear somebody say something, and I get embarrassed. And we're not embarrassed anymore. Because we're just wholesale to whatever depravity we can sink to. I'm talking about the world in general. That's what it's like. You remember in 1940 when Gone with the Wind was a new movie. And on the front page of the newspaper, someone said the D word. Remember? I don't know that you were that old to remember that. The D word, are you joking? Just listen to the way people talk. The way they use our Savior's name in degradation. We've sunk to a spot where it's past normal. It's greediness. It's headlong, uncontrolled sin. But enough about that. We've done enough looking back. Let's get rid of that old life. Let's get rid of those old clothes. And let's look at verse 20. I love verse 20. But you have not so learned Christ. You're new now. You've got a new life and you're a child of God. You didn't learn this from Christ. This isn't the way Christ directs us. You've got a new direction. Thank God we've been to the cross. Amen. Thank God we've been taken out of darkness and we've been translated, conveyed into the Son, the kingdom of God's dear Son. That's what's happened to us. And the truth is in Jesus because Jesus is truth. And we read that in John chapter 14 and verse 6. Thomas says, we don't know where you're going and we're not sure the way and we're not sure anything about it. And Jesus makes those amazing, infamous statement that we use often. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus Christ is all truth. And because of that, we never learned that lifestyle from him. We've got a new way that he's given us new life and a new direction. Thank God. We move into verse 22 and 23. I have to move along quickly. But here we get into something real practical here. Because this is kind of the crux of the whole reading, what we're going to read right now. Verses 22 and 23. And I'm just going to read them again. That you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and being renewed in your spirit, remember, be renewed in your spirit of your mind, that you put on the new man which is created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. What did the truth that is Jesus Christ teach us? The truth of Jesus teach us. He taught us three things, three actions. Put off, be renewed, and put on. Let's look at put off. Paul urges us to put off the old self, the old man, those former traits and behaviors of the way we used to be. Remember verse 17 to 19? We don't want to go back there. But remember those old traits, those old ways of acting and talking and doing? Well that's, we got to put those off. There's been a change in our life. We need to change our clothes. Remember the story of Lazarus? In John 14, Lazarus, come forth. And what did they say? Loose him and get those clothes off him. I love it. He's alive now. That's what's happened to us. We've been made alive in Christ. Let's get those old clothes off. Romans 6 and 6, knowing this, that our old man, our old self, was crucified with him, that is Christ, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. In Ephesians chapter 2, we studied this earlier. Paul tells us that in Christ, believers are a new person. We have changed identities. It's God's witness relocation program. We've been given new status and a new name. And we've been given new life in a different spot. You might live in the same neighborhood, but it's a different spot. And we live in a different spot. And we think differently and we do things differently. The power of the old self is no longer there. It's been broken. That's what Romans chapter 6 says. It's been broken by Jesus Christ who died and was buried. So our sin and our guilt was buried with him and we rose in newness of life just as Jesus Christ rose from the dead. We've been freed from that power. We can reject its control. And positionally, God says this, and I'm going to get this clear this morning. Positionally, God says us in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 17 that we are new creations. Old things are passed away. All things have become new. And we can think that. And we can say, positionally, and doctrinally, you are correct. Positionally, God has given us a new creation. But I believe it goes beyond that. I believe this is an intentional, everyday activity of you and I to put off. I believe that positionally, God sees us as new creations. But until it's an act of the will by the Spirit that's within us to step forward and say, I'm going to take this stuff off. It'll never be off. We have the power within us to do that through the power of God. But it's my will that I've got to relinquish. And I've got to let God take my life and let it be consecrated. Lord, man, I have a tough time with that. I don't know about you, but it's a deliberate, intentional well to put off those old clothes. You know those old things that are hanging in your closet? Those old, I bet you got an old t-shirt that everybody wishes you would throw away. I used to cut the lawn with, I had a blue t-shirt and green shorts. They were Tommy Hilfiger. I loved them. And by the time I was finished, I had a big hole in the back. And I know my neighbors, I know my wife for sure would say, okay, you're not going to wear that again. And they would look for me on Wednesday night to be out there with my green shorts and that blue shirt. And it was like, you know, it was something for them to set their clocks by. Remember those things that are comfortable? They're hanging in our closet, the old habits, the old ways. Man, it's got history with me. It's got things that I like. But you know what? We got to get rid of those things. We got to throw the old t-shirt that's bringing us down into the garbage. We've got to get rid of it. We got to get rid of those things that are taking us away from a lifestyle that God would want for us. We've got to get rid of them. Secondly, it calls for us to be renewed. Verse 23, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. The truth Jesus also taught us that we needed to be removed. Now there was a supernatural renewing when you came to the knowledge of Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. There was a renewal because it says earlier in the chapter that we are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. So when we became believers in Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit entered our body. We have God in us, the hope of glory, His seal of guarantee that we are His child. But again, I believe that this renewal goes beyond positional. It goes to a fact that we need to daily renew our minds in the power of God's Spirit. Notice that renewal happens in the spirit of your mind, the way you think, your attitudes, your spiritual state of man. We need to continue to relinquish our will and let God take that. Again, I believe this is intentional, and there's two ways we can do this. Romans chapter 12, Darren and the team shared that scripture with us this morning. This is what it says. And do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. How? That you may prove what is good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. That renewing of your mind is to take God's word and allow God's Spirit to talk to us from His word. We've got to do that all the time. And I know when I get off track, guys, you know when I get off track is when I stop reading. And it happens. And I say, I got to get back to that renewal. I have to get back to the power that comes when I read God's word, because in this word is the power of God. And God has promised us that the Spirit will enlighten us as we read. But we need to do that. That's a daily devotional time put aside event that we need to be deliberate and intentional. And the second way, in Philippians chapter 4, for some of us that are doing small groups, the study in Philippians, and Graham shared this with us a couple Sundays ago, I believe this verse in itself, Philippians 4 and verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true. Just think for a moment as you read this. Think about how much this characterizes the way you think and the way you talk. And I'm doing the same with me. When I talk up here, don't think that I'm preaching at you. I'm preaching with you. This is speaking to my heart as well. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are good report, enough already. If there's any virtue, it just keeps going. If there's anything praiseworthy, all that list, it seems overwhelming. Meditate on these things. I believe if we're going to be renewed in our mind, we need to check what we're thinking about and what we're thinking about, what we're seeing, what we're looking at, what's filling our minds. And guys, if we're going to have a change in our life, we can't be reading garbage and expect, it's like we say at work, garbage in, garbage out. Absolutely. And if we think we're going to bring in this stuff and it's going to be any different coming out, we're fooling ourselves. We are fools. And I think that we need to check the way we think and what we think by the things that we are thinking about and dwelling on and putting our focus on. All those things that are right, that are pure, that are praiseworthy. That's why I love this time Sunday. We can actually get thinking about the Lord and His greatness and get off ourselves. We need to check and control our thought life. And lastly, we need to put on. In contrast to putting off, and I think that those actions happen at the same time, because When you take off, you typically put on, right? It's like this. You take off, you have a shower, that's the renewing, and you put on new clothes. So the taking off and the putting on happens kind of overlapping. What ends up taking off, you're replacing with something better. And I believe that our intentional attitude toward our God who has given us new life is that I want to know more about Jesus every day, more of his saving grace. It's a change of direction. It's a change of thinking. It's a change of desire. It's a change of attitude, becoming more Christ-like. And he finishes off the chapter by telling us in verse 30 that we have an ability to grieve the Holy Spirit if we don't do that. That we actually are sealed to the day of redemption. That means God's not backing out of this relationship. God is, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, God has sealed you until the day of redemption when he comes back and he makes everything right in this world as the righteous judge and Lord of all. You're sealed to that day, but in the meantime, we can do a whole lot of damage to ourselves and to other people and to a life that God has given us to be more abundant. And that grieving is like offense or distress or insult. And we can insult them by what we do and what we say and how we act. And the challenge is for us not to grieve the Holy Spirit, but to live in a way that is God-honoring. We did a study with Blackaby called Experiencing God. It was an amazing study. I saw things there that I hadn't seen, and yet I've read those verses for years. And it was a matter of giving your life to the Lord. And seeing what God will do with it. See the change that happens when you relinquish your will and you allow God to do his will. Taking away my self-motivation and saying, God, it's your motivation. What an amazing thing that we can be found as faithful students, stewards of what God has given us. He's faithful, worthy of our worship, worthy of our honor. I want to just read one thing as we close. St. Patrick wrote this prayer, and I think it's worth us to read as Murray is going to get ready to come up and play before the throne of God. We're going to stand and sing that together in quietness and think of the words about being free. But just think of these words as I read a prayer of St. Patrick. As I arise today, think of these. I'm going to try to be clear with this. As I rise today, may the strength of God pilot me. The power of God uphold me. The wisdom of God guide me. May the eye of God look before me. The ear of God hear me. The word of God speak to me. May the hand of God protect me. The way of God lie before me. The shield of God defend me. The host of God save me. And this is the last part. May Christ shield me today. Christ with me. Christ before me. Christ behind me. Christ in me. Christ beneath me. Christ above me. Christ to my right. Christ to my left. Christ when I lay down. Christ when I sit. Christ when I stand. Christ in the heart of everyone who thinks of me. Christ in the mouth of everyone who speaks of me. Christ in every eye that sees me. Christ in every ear that hears me. Amen. That would be our desire, is it not? That we would be more for Christ. That we would reflect back our responsibility as new converts. A faith that is demonstrated by our actions. That we give him honor and glory through our life. The words are going to be up here for beneath the throne of God. I want you to spend just a minute as we think about the second verse. Who made an end of all my sin because the sinless Savior died. My sinful soul is counted free, for God the just is satisfied. We're free. We're free to live a new life for Jesus Christ. Let's stand and sing this together before we pray.